We're going to turn in the scriptures now to Psalm 24. And in Psalm 24, we're going to read the whole passage, the whole psalm, verses 1 through 10. And let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His help. Gracious Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the blessing of speaking to us. Thank You for Your ordinances of the reading and the preaching of Your Word. And thank You that You give us Your Holy Spirit to those who are Your children and Your elect. We ask that You would work in us by Your Spirit to illuminate us, not to illuminate Your Word. Your Word is pure light, but to illuminate our hearts, our minds, our wills, our affections, to shine in the darkness, in the dark places that still remain, that we would see our need of Christ the King, and that we would seek Him in His face. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 24, these are God's words. A psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, He is the King of glory. Selah. And those are God's words. Well, this psalm, the psalm before us this morning, is such a blessed psalm, for it is a psalm of the King Jesus Christ. It is a psalm, as we've heard so often in going through the Psalter, and singing the Psalms of the Psalm of the Month, it is a psalm concerning Christ's forever kingdom. That's what we're learning. We know that. That's the first point this morning. The King's kingdom. The King's kingdom. In verse 1, it begins. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. He's saying here, it's all the Lord's. He's the Creator. He's the Sustainer of all of it. All of it is His. And who is the Creator but the Lord Jesus Christ? We learn that in John's Gospel, chapter 1, speaking and using this very similar language of Genesis 1. It says there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And so Jesus, the Word, all things were made by Him. He's the King, which means also here that He's the Creator of the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. The earth belongs to Jesus and all of its fullness. all the creatures who dwell in the earth and on the earth and above the earth. Even though His throne is in glory in the heavens, His kingdom rules over all. The little ants, the birds, the bacteria, everything is His and He rules over everything. And when God gave authority over the creatures to have dominion over them, He gave that dominion to man. He still reserved for Himself all of it. It's still His, even though man has dominion over the animals and his creation. Everything we own ourselves and have is His. It doesn't rightly belong to you. It belongs to Jesus, the Creator. Even if you go down the mines, the richest mines are filled with the gold and the diamonds, even the stuff that makes up the microchips that apparently is so expensive today. It's all the Lord's. Right? It's all His in Job. The behemoth. Leviathan. We've learned of both of those. We've learned that they are His. By His power, the power. And it shows forth that He has power. If He has power over them, He has power over all the creatures and all creation. There are things on the earth for the entirety of time have remained undiscovered. Never seen by man. They will never, perhaps, there's some things that will never be known by man. And the Lord Jesus knows exactly where to find them and what use they have, right? Go out into the universe, to the stars and past the stars and the other planets, the suns, go past the other suns that we don't even know about and go past all of it and we don't even know where that's at. Jesus knows exactly what's there and He created it all. Well, you might say, but I have my soul. My soul's mine. No, it's not. It's His. He made it. Right? Our bodies, our souls are not ours. Our souls are mine, says the Lord. He formed our bodies, and He is what? The Father of spirits. Our tongues are not our own. They are to be at His service forever. Even those of the children of men, those who have as their father the devil, who rebel against the Lord, even they who do not know Jesus are His. Their souls, His. The atoms, A-T-O-M-S, the atoms are His. The matter is His. For He made it all out of nothing. And this psalm, what does this show us? But that Jesus is the mediatorial King over all creation. He's the mediatorial King over all creation. We see here that they're seeking His face. We're going to get to that in verse 6. This is a psalm about our mediator and, of course, the King, showing us that He has dominion over not just the church, but over all creation as our mediatorial King. And so He has dominion over the church, of course, but over all the parts of the earth. All of it's His. He made it. He formed it. He furnished it. He founded it. He fitted it for the use of man. And He made it because no one else could. And so He did for His own glory. In verse 3, then ask this question, or these questions. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? The question is asked, who shall ascend into the hill of Jehovah? Similar question having the same answer. Or who shall stand in His holy place? Who can go to the holy place? The Holy of Holies. Who can go there? There is none who are holy who can go on earth. None on earth. We're all full of sin, right? And if we entered into the holy place of the Lord, of Jehovah, we would die immediately because sin cannot be in His presence. Right? We heard even on Wednesday evening. To go and ascend the hill of the Lord, to come before Jehovah. Who is clean enough? Verse 4. Who is pure enough? Who has no vanity or deceit whatsoever in Him? None. Zero. Who has that? His holy place is that very place of glory. The hill is a hill of glory. It's not he who sings so well and so many psalms. It's not he who fasts and watches and prays for so many days. It's not him who faithfully attends worship Lord's Day after Lord's Day. It's not him who fasts and it's not him who helps the poor and oppressed. It isn't he who preaches to others, nor the one who lives quietly by themselves away from the world to keep them from sin. But it is alone, verse 4. It says, he gives us the answer. Who can go before the Lord's presence? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Got to have both. Not just the hands, has to be the heart too. Not just the heart, has to be clean hands too. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Is that any of you? Is that any of you? Can you honestly say, I am one who has clean hands and a pure heart? And if you say, yes, that's me, you're lying to yourself. And the Lord tells you very clearly that is not you. That you have never lifted up your soul in the vanity or been deceitful in any way. And as verse 3, we're asked that question, who shall ascend? It's really, again, and then who shall stand? Who shall go up to? And then who can stand there before Jehovah? You must ask too, who shall go to heaven? Who shall have communion with God? Who can rightly partake of His ordinances? But the Lord teaches us what is true of all men. He does that in Romans. Romans, of course, easy for us to grasp this. He says there is, in Romans 3, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, quoting the Psalm. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of their way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And we learn, as we've heard many times, the wages of sin is what? Of such heinous sin is death. And by Romans 5, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned. Who shall ascend? And who shall stand before Jehovah? Psalm 15, verse 1 says, Lord, who shall aid in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? It's the one who has clean hands and a pure heart. In Psalm 15 it says, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. And continues with things describing what we have here in verse 4. Clean hands and a pure heart. And who does that describe? Does that describe you? It doesn't describe you, it doesn't describe me. It describes none of us, of ourselves. But by God's grace, we know who it describes to a T, right? Perfectly. We know exactly who this describes if we know the Scriptures. There is one who rose from the dead and ascended up on high, who is qualified as all clean, all pure, no vanity, no guile, perfect. The one who is truth, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. There's only one like that. And who are all the rest? Well, friends, Jesus Christ better be your head. He better be your head, because if the head is once risen from the dead and ascended now to the throne, the members, his body that is, will all follow after him in their time. in union with Him. The only hope that we have to ascend the hill of Jehovah and stand in that holy place in the presence, the very presence of Jehovah, where the cherubim, the seraphim are crying out, right? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And Isaiah says, woe is me, because he's in sin, right? And before the Holy One who is God, he's unclean. It's only in the Lord. It's only in Christ, in union with Him. The only hope that we have to ascend that hill and to stand in His presence is to enter into Christ's kingdom. Enter into the kingdom. If we come, and how do we come into the kingdom? Is if we come in union with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the King of His eternal kingdom, who is the spotless Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, right? The truth is, if you try to come to the Lord without Christ, before His holy presence, to His holy hill, if you try to come without Jesus Christ, you're no different than Israel there in Egypt, in that occasion at the last plague that was sent, where the Lord put to death all the firstborn children. Remember that? Even reminding us of that in Hebrews 11. And all the Egyptian firstborns, including Pharaoh's firstborn, died because they didn't have the blood of the Lamb covering them. But Israel, all the people of Israel, the Lord promised them, and they believed in faith, the Lord promised them that if they had the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost, then His plague would not enter into their home and kill their firstborn. And Jesus is that spotless Lamb of God, so sacrificed and His blood poured out, so all of you who come in faith with Him, covering your sins, so that you could have clean hands and you could have a pure heart and survive and thrive on the hill of the Lord and in His presence to stand. And such in Christ shall, verse 5, it says, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. We think that's us, right? No. It says, he shall. Who shall? Jesus. Go back. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. That's Jesus. He shall receive the blessing. And he shall receive righteousness from the God of his salvation. It's Jesus. Jesus shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. It's Jesus. And you thought, of course, it was you. It's not. It's Jesus. It's his kingdom. And Psalm 22, which is, of course, about Christ, as all the Psalms are. A seed, it says, shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born that he hath done this. In other words, Jesus receives the blessing of his inheritance in the salvation of his elect, who are counted as a, Psalm 22, a generation. A generation, verse 6 of our passage. All of you who come to Christ by faith, counted as a generation before him, his inheritance. You are his inheritance. Think of that. Usually the inheritance we think of, it's something that we receive that's a gift, right? It's from passed down because of the last will and testament of our parents usually. And that testament now we know is Jesus according to the covenant. And his inheritance we see here is us. We might describe ourselves as worthless compared to him and what he has. And yet we are still His inheritance. The blessing of His inheritance and the salvation of the elect. That He, with perfect righteousness, lived and died as a sacrifice, as the Lamb of God on that cursed cross of Calvary. And Jesus now risen, resurrected. Jesus was raised for our justification, Romans 4. And with His Holy Spirit, He is commanding from His estate of glorification. They're sitting on the throne as a mediatorial king, as a forever king in His forever kingdom. He is commanding to impute, imputation, to credit unto all who believe upon Him for salvation. He is crediting His righteousness to all who believe. Imputing, crediting His righteousness for the salvation of all of His inheritance. That's what He does. He's the one who ascends the hill. He stands in the holy place before Jehovah because Jesus is the one who is clean and who has a pure heart, is perfect in righteousness. That's our Savior. Well, if that's our Savior and He is your Savior, if He's your Savior, well, is He your Savior? That's the big question, right? It's always the big question. Is He your Savior? Because verse 6 says what those do if He is your Savior. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Who are the generation? We just heard Psalm 22. It's the elect. The elect are the generation of which Jesus receives as the blessing of His inheritance in the salvation of the elect. That's the generation. So what does that generation do? They seek Him. They seek Him. Do you seek after Him? Who's the Him in the context? Well, it's Jesus. This is the generation. This is the elect. The elect are those that seek Jesus. If you do not seek after Jesus, then you are not of the elect. When Jesus speaks, is it from your heart that you want to be there to hear Him, right, in worship? Are you in that way seeking Him? You want to hear His Word, just Him speaking? Are you in that way seeking after Him? Are you seeking after Jesus in the church, His bride, which He is in by His Holy Spirit? And so if you're with the people of God, you are, in one sense, communing with Jesus Christ. You're seeking after Him because where the people of God gather, there is the Word. Because we're speaking to one another the Word, or we should be, right? Are you seeking Jesus in the ways He says to seek Him? By prayer, calling upon Him. Are you seeking after Jesus by fleeing from your sins and hating your sins and loving righteousness because you love Jesus? You're seeking after Him, so you love Him. Therefore, you love righteousness because He is righteous. And He is righteousness. Are you loving Jesus? Wanting to be with Him? Are you seeking then to be justified by Jesus Christ, by faith, that He would do what He says here, to impute, to credit to you His righteousness? Are you seeking after Jesus that He would pour out the Holy Spirit upon you and calling the Lord to do that? It says, this is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob. This is a normal Hebrew poetic thing, repeating what was already said. Different words. Seek whose face? We already know Jesus. To behold His face, the elect of the generation that seek after Jesus, seek after Christ, that is Jacob. And the elect are Christ's blessing from the Father in a covenant of redemption. It should be no then surprise in that the Holy Spirit refers to Christ here as Jacob. He's the God of Jacob. He descends from Jacob, the seed of promise. Jacob himself was a type of Christ, or pointing forward to Christ. Psalm 59 says, consume them in wrath, consume them that they may not be, and let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth. Who rules? Jesus rules over the earth. That's what we learned already in the Psalm. Psalm 78. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Jesus is the Word. Isaiah 29. Therefore thus saith the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale. But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel. Speaking of Jesus, this is the King's kingdom. The kingdom of the King, Jesus Christ, and all who are in union with Christ then are those who have clean hands and a pure heart and can ascend in union with Christ the hill of the Lord and stand before the presence of Jehovah. And who are they again? They are those who seek Jesus and seek after His face, the face of Jesus. John 12, sirs, we would see Jesus. Are you seeking for the Lord Jesus Christ, King Jesus? Are you seeking His righteousness, His life, His sacrifice for you? Those are the citizens of His kingdom. And you are called today to come to Him, to seek His face, seek Him in prayer, seek Him in worship, right? Seek Him in the Word, in the Scriptures. Seek Him in the fellowship of the saints. Seek Him. And you'll find a Savior who receives all who come to Him. He offers you to come unto Him. It's no cost, it's free. As we read, and we're going to read later in Isaiah 55. The price is free, but the price is free because Christ has lived and died for your sins. And so, that's a description here of Christ and His citizens of His kingdom. The question then is that you, are you a citizen of the kingdom of Jesus Christ? The second point moves us to coming to the table of the Lord now. The King's entrance. The King's entrance. As you know, when we sing this, it's very much repeated chorus that we sing, and some of the other psalms we sing wrongly in our Psalter, repeat phrases at the end to make things fit well. This is actually repeated in the Psalm, in Psalm 24. And so we have no question about that. Everything we see here is the same in repetition or repeated except the very last phrase. In verse 7, verse 9 is the same. Verse 7 says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. The desire here is for the King, Jesus, the King of glory to enter in. Jesus is the King of glory. And do you not now desire Him to come in? To come in into His temple, into the presence of His people, to commune with His people? Do you not desire and want today that the King of glory, Jesus, to come into the presence of His elect, a generation of His inheritance, having invited them to the table to dine with Him? He's invited His people to come and dine with Him. And so when we come to dine with Him, we want Him to come too. And that's what the end of this psalm is all about. The elect are gathered, they're sitting at the table, calling for the King to come. They don't come in like perhaps children do at the dinner table, and especially kids, right? We want to immediately eat, right? We sit down, the food's there, we're hungry. No. The food means nothing without Jesus. And the children give no thought to the Lord's goodness, and so sometimes they eat without praying. If you're the ones who pray before a meal, right, and give thanks, we give thanks to the Lord for the blessing of food and the provision, all the more at the table of the Lord. to commune with Him and to sit there and consider looking around not only at each other and all the valued guests who have been brought who don't deserve to be there and are poor, wretched sinners. And how could we're looking around, how could any of us get into this kingdom and be here? And we look around, we also see that not only are we poor, wretched people, but we've been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We've been clothed with kingly robes, precious robes, and He's humbled us to see our need of Him and not to just dwell in the pig manure, like the prodigal son who ran off, right? But He's caused us to see our need of Him. And He, what did He do? He humbled Himself to our level, taking on human flesh so that now He could invite us to His table and clothe us with those robes of righteousness. And will you then, if He's done all of that and more, will you then refuse to come to the table? His glorious table and the food set upon it, showing His love for us, and He's going to come and He's going to sit with us who have no merit before Him to ever come even a million zillion miles close to Him. And yet He brings us to His very table. Should we refuse then to come to His table, when He has invited us to come? No. You're not going to do that. You will be on time. You're going to show up early, right? You're going to be dressed in the best that you got, and He's going to make you dressed up in all the much better, right? Infinitely better in His righteousness. You want to be there, and thankfully He's given you the appropriate attire, right? And we come and we sit in His grand palace, in His kingdom, and we sing of our desire for, in Psalm 24, we sing of our desire for the King to come in and join us and feast with us. And we're not going to eat until the King gets there. We didn't come here for all the people. We came here for the King. We didn't come here for the food. We came here for the King. As much as the people and the food are good to be with us at the table, we came here for the King. And so we're pleading here, open the gates, open the doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Open them up. So we're calling upon out to the attendants who are keeping the doors. Open them up so the King can come in. You see the earnestness of wanting Christ to join with us and be with us. He will actually come. He promises to come here in Psalm 24. He'll be with us as we sit at the table today, spiritually. And one day at the marriage supper of the Lamb, physically and spiritually, in His presence. He will actually come in and He'll come and be present with those who seek after Him, to be with Him. And verse 8 and 10, likewise, ask then, who is this King of glory? Do you know who comes in to eat with us, whose presence we come to, and He comes to us? Contemplate who it is we come before and worship. Who it is when we sit at the table and He communes with us? Who is it? He's the King of all glory. The glory that we see in creation when He creates light and there's no sun. And when the Revelation 22, I think it is, or 21, one or two, and there's no light in the great city. The light comes from the glory of God and the Lamb, the King of glory. Verse 8 declares He is the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. In verse 10, the word's a little different, the Lord of hosts, right? Both verses similar. Jehovah, Lord of hosts, Lord of armies. Not only of Himself is He all-powerful and strong. And in verse 8, great and mighty in battle of Himself, to which no one can defeat Him, as we saw in last Lord's Day in Joel 3. He is the Lord of armies. He has the armies with Him. If we were to not desire to have Him amongst us, if we attempted a coup and sought to deny Him entrance to His own table, it would be at our peril. We do not come too lightly to the table, right? Thinking of the third commandment about His name, honoring His name. We don't come too lightly to the table. It's why we must examine ourselves. 1 Corinthians 11, you were encouraged to do that this past week and before Him, and do it now and repent of your sins now. And He is able, He is still able to avenge. And so come carefully. He can break in pieces with His iron rod all those who will not submit to Him. When we come to the table, there must be reverence for Him as well, from our hearts. But thankfulness as well. Joy and thankfulness. Thankfully, He's the King of glory. Jesus is the King. He's not just the King, He's the King of glory, and the one who delivers you from your sins, Christian. He's the one who imputes you with righteousness, those who receive Him by faith, right? And so we come before Jesus. King Jesus, He enters through the gates and into the doors, and as the King, He's the King. But what blessedness He comes to commune with us less than commoners. His people. That He's now made His people and has exalted to not just be out there in the kingdom somewhere on the outskirts of the kingdom. He's brought them to His very table in His inner circle, and we are in union with Him. Closest you can get. The angels are not as close as we are in union with Christ. Right? And when He says in Timothy, if we endure, He will reign, we will reign with Him. We will reign on the throne. The angels don't do that. The cherubim and the seraphim don't do that. All the creatures in there and the heavenly creatures, they don't do that. We, made from the lowest of low because of our sin, and He brings us to His table to commune with Him. That's why the angels long to look into these things. Right? And so where there's the necessity of great reverence, so too there is a great joy. And basking in His love, like Song of Solomon chapter 2 that we've studied before when we've come to the table. It says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is My beloved among the sons. I sat down under His shadow with great delight, and His fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. And that's what we have pictured here at the table of the Lord as we come to it. This is the one. This is the one to whom all the earth belongs, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2, yep. To whom all the earth belongs, the heavens, all creation, all the creatures, and who can come to His table? All who come to Jesus Christ by faith, seeking after Him so that He imputes unto you His perfect righteousness, and so you can then ascend His holy hill in union with Him and stand in His presence. But not just stand, but then as the work's been finished, be seated with Him and partake of that great feast He puts before you. To stand and to sit in the holy place with clean hands and a pure heart. Verse 4. And so, you're commanded today to seek the Lord Jesus, to reverence Him as King, and be filled with joy at the prospect, Christian, of dining and feasting upon Him in His presence. Let's pray. Our Father, we give You praise today that You have given us of Your Son, that we might in Him have the righteousness to stand, the clean hands and the pure hearts to stand, to come before and to stand before You. Now, coming to the table, You receive us for His sake and build us up and strengthen us, nourish our souls and our bodies. Be strengthened against Satan and his wiles and sins that still cling to us. So as we come, we pray You would show mercy to us. Father, turn our hearts from You, from our sins to You, from our atrocities and blasphemies to You, the living and true God, in Christ Your Son. We are thankful for our mediatorial King, Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. May His name be given praise for all eternity, and that all nations would come and turn unto Him and bow before Him who is the King of kings and the King of glory. We pray in His name. Amen.